Blog Talk Radio.
The Other Radio Network, Tuesday Spot, D. Slate in the building. The Tuesday Spot is upon us once again, ladies and gentlemen. It is back on this lovely September 3rd, the day after Labor Day. I hope everybody enjoyed their Labor Day. I hope everybody was safe. Hope everybody barbecued and had fun and enjoyed family. You know, it's just all about, you know, remembrance. It's all about knowing what Labor Day is all about and just, you know, enjoying your loved ones, spending time with family and friends. And just, a lot of people was off, you know, a lot of people had to work. But, you know, hopefully everybody got a chance to enjoy it. But we're back again in this new month of September. There's all type of things popping off in September. And we'll talk about that coming up soon in the show. But D. Slate, L.E.O., my man Anthony Rucker's in the building. We're getting in tonight on this lovely Tuesday Spot. We got some guests popping off tonight. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it's a Power Ranger show tonight. If you didn't know, it's a Power Ranger show tonight. We have the beautiful Miss Nakia Burris is joining us tonight. A little later in the show, we'll be talking to my brother, the up and coming talent. He's been doing his thing in some hit movies. He himself was a Power Ranger himself. The brother Keith Robinson is going to be joining us tonight as well. So we have the beautiful Miss Nakia Burris, Keith Robinson. It's a Power Ranger reunion going down tonight on the D'Alba Radio Network. And if you didn't know, Nakia, she was a part of the season of the Power Rangers Zeo, as well as the Power Rangers Turbo. Keith was a part of the Power Rangers season of Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue. And I'll give you guys a little can about that, you know, a little later in the show, just in case, you know, it might have slipped your memory and you don't remember what I'm talking about. D-Slate was a Power Ranger fan. I'm proud of him. You know, I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. I don't care. D-Slate was a Power Ranger fan. I thought it was Morphin' Time all the time, you know, just for, those that don't know. But, I had a little nephews, my daughter, I used to watch it with them all the time. So, I became a fan, an avid fan. But there's a reason why. There's a reason why I was a fan of the Power Rangers. But we'll talk about that a little later in the show. Again, it's going down. Nakia Burris, Keith Robinson. We got the number one segment on the Tuesday Spot, Real Men Talking, is going down tonight. We got some great conversation going down tonight. We're going to be talking about some other crazy things that's been popping off. Also, NFL. DC is so happy. Football is back, baby. Football is back. The season begins on Thursday, and the key game, the number one game, the beginning game is the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens is going down with the Denver Broncos on Thursday Night Football as the season opener. Oh, it's going to be popping off Thursday night. All the men stand up and unite. Everybody, all the men around America will be united, and they will be happy with smiles on their faces. Ladies, your boyfriends, your fiancés, your husbands, they will be happy once again. Yes, ladies, rejoice, because men are happy again, because football is back. Football is back. So we'll be talking about, you know, a little bit about that a little later. Some of our, you know, our guests, you know, I'm going to see if my brothers have any picks of who they think may go to the Super Bowl, may not go to the Super Bowl. I don't know. It's so crazy. It's such a big shakeup in the NFL right now. So we really don't know how it's going to go down, but we'll talk about that a little later. As well as, if you are a hip-hop artist, if you are R&B artist, singer, gospel artist, you know, poet, you know, actor and actress, you want to be interviewed on the D-Hour Radio Network, you want to be a part of our show, all you have to do is email us at dhourshow@gmail.com. That's dhourshow@gmail.com. You can also catch up with us on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search the keywords, D-Hour Show. As well as if you have a business or a website you would like to advertise on our network, feel free to email us again at dhourshow@gmail.com. dhourshow@gmail.com. I have to spell it like that because there's some individuals out there who thought they was too cool for school, and they didn't go to school, so they have some problems understanding words and syllables. So sometimes I have to spell it out for those individuals, you know, just to help them out. But just email us at dhourshow@gmail.com. Got my brother Elio in the building. What's good?
Not much, man. I'm just chilling. I'm ready to, you know, morphin. So you know, it's morphin time. So we're gonna get the
power. Oh, see, Elio, baby. He knows it.
If you didn't want to be a Power Ranger when you was coming up, then you weren't in.
Can't run with that, man. If you wasn't jumping off your garage talking about it's morphin time, something was wrong with you, man.
Right.
with you, for real.
Right, and we gonna reveal what range I really wanted to be back in the day. We went to the Pirates.
Oh, we gonna talk about that. Oh yeah. We gonna get that in. I got my brother Anthony Rucker. Anthony, what's good, bro?
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
Pretty good.
We good. Chilling.
Everything is wonderful,
in,
man. Yeah, I was like the Power Rangers. I'm like, oh yeah, we can do this. I always thought myself.
Go ahead, bro.
I always saw myself trying to beat up the Power Rangers, though. I wasn't trying to. I was always trying.
So you was one of the villains, huh?
Yeah, man. I was getting it in.
Well, you know what? And you know, an amazing thing, too, like, I know a lot of other individuals will definitely recognize Keith Robinson. He was also in the hit movie Dreamgirls. He was also in This Christmas. He was also in 35 and Ticking with Kevin Hart. He was also in a couple other TV shows as well, Half and Half, the TV show Over There, American Dream. So he was in a couple other TV shows as well. But you know, he got his debut. You know, his debut was with, you know, of course, you know, the Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue. But for those that don't remember him, he was in This Christmas, the movie with Chris Brown. You know, Idris Elba, he played, there was some sisters in that movie. Regina King was one. I forgot the name of the other sister, and that was a younger sister. And he was the one that dated the younger sister. He was the brother that dated the younger sister, but like I said,
that's
we'll,
what you're talking about.
Right. So, but we'll get into, you know, some more of that a little later in the show. But, definitely, you know, like I said, we're going to be getting it in earlier, you know, in a few minutes we'll be getting in with the beautiful Miss Nakia Baris. She's going to be joining us tonight, actor, you know, singer, writer. We're definitely going to be talking with her tonight about her career and, you know, some of the new things that she's working on right now. And all the other great things we discussed, we'll be getting in with you guys tonight. On the Tuesday spot, D Slate, LEO, Anthony, we're getting in right now. We got some music. You know, we got to play some hits. We got to get these hits in real quick when we come back. Hopefully, we'll be talking with the beautiful Miss Nakia Baris right here on the Tuesday spot, getting in on the D Hour Radio Network. I got some Bobby Brown, some Bridget Carrington. It's going down. Don't go nowhere. We'll be back.
So you think you understand her, but you don't, because every guy before you is brokenhearted too. And it's hard for her to pick up the pieces, and it's hard for her to say she believes in love.
educated, preach, yeah, they raised me. Pops wasn't never around, mama did her best, but struggled just to hold her down. Found a game late, but when I played, was an all-star. Crack was the league, I have a couple rings. So far, you're so close, rap is a tightrope. So coping and it changed my situation. Only thing it brought on was more complications. Patience is a virtue, my grandma used to say. Keep your faith in the Lord and everything will be okay. I wonder what she say now, transform the rain now. Stay down and don't move, they're yelling with their guns drawn. Only thing I'm thinking, I never see my son born. Dead wrong, I know that. Fuck it, I'm a whole ass. Got my fingerprints and my face up on a Kodak. Ain't no going back now, went into the bell sound. School of hard knocks on me, first class starting now.
Everything I ever learned, yeah, I learned from the streets. From the streets, yeah. Only teacher that I ever had was the concrete. Was the concrete. Yeah, but you can't from a hostile environment. You better learn quick, otherwise you just a lamp in the light.
Life to your cars, up to you and how you play them out. Always got an option, legit or the other route. There's money to be made, so get up off your mama couch. Get up out your mama house, black man swear me out. Hard white ramming out the route that I chose. St. John's wasn't panning out, so I had to make a way. Party with the powder like the night before Labor Day. Played awake at night, reminiscing about the past. For times I ain't have no food on the table or water for a bath. Streets made it easy, where I could get it fast. I'm not trying to brag, just walking down a path that was laid out in front of me. Looking in the mirror like what the streets done to me. My cousin turned a 1-3 into a 6-black. 5 years up top, homeboy, I done did that. A street educated, yeah, nigga, I done been that.
Everything I ever learned, yeah, I learned from the streets. From the streets, yeah. Only teacher that I ever had was the concrete. Was the concrete.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUsKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Diablo Radio Network. D. Slay, Elio, Anthony in the building, getting it in for the fans tonight. It's another lovely Tuesday spot. Carolina Blue, before that was Bobby Brown, you know, playing all the hits from all your favorite celebrity artists and your favorite indie artists as well, right here on the Diablo Radio Network's Tuesday spot. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, it's time for us to introduce our first guest for tonight, actress, singer, dancer, writer, model. When you take a look at Nakia's career, it becomes crystal clear that she is a triple threat and entertainment is her passion. She has played an array of characters in such shows and movies as The Perfect Boyfriend, 90210, The Middle, Rules of Engagement, Melissa and Joey, Bones, Samantha Who, Boston Legal, Nash Bridges, Moesha, and many, many more. She was also, you know, for all the Power Ranger fans, she was also the Yellow Ranger on Power Rangers Zeo, as well as Power Rangers Turbo. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm D'Alba Radio Network to the beautiful and the talented Miss Nakia Burry.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on this. I'm sorry. Let me open the door. The fans is outside. Let me open the door. Thank you. There you go. That's much better. That's much better. First
That's
and foremost,
a nice intro.
Well, you deserve it. You definitely deserve it. You're very talented. I've seen you on some of those other TV shows, and I was very happy to see that you were involved in such great shows like that. And I think you're very talented. So definitely,
it's an honor
to have you on the show with us tonight. Absolutely.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you so much. So much.
No, you're welcome. No, I mean it's first of all, you know, I'm a Power Rangers fan. You know, my co-host Elio, you know, he's a Power Rangers fan. My brother Anthony, a co-host, he was actually a Power Rangers villain fan. So we all kind of went, we all kind of go a little different, we were definitely all fans, you know, and like Elio stated earlier, you know, growing up, I mean, everybody, you know, I watched it myself. I watched it with my daughter. I watched it with my nephews, and you know, I mean, it was. I think the reason why I liked it so much is because it reminded me of a couple of great shows I remember watching when I was a kid. You know, so
what did you watch as a kid? What did you watch?
You know, I mean, it reminded me of such shows like, Spectreman, Ultraman, the Space Giant. Voltron. I mean, it reminded me of so many of those, you know, great shows like that. And I think that when Mighty Morphin Power Rangers first debuted, I remember when it came out and I saw it and I was like, okay, I said, this kind of looks like some of the shows I remember watching when I was a kid. And, you know, I started watching it with my daughter and my nephews and stuff like that. So I think as time progressed, it just got better and better. Especially with the more and more fans the Power Rangers had gained over the years, and it just only got better and better. So I think that it was great to see it progress as much as it did, and there was quite a few Rangers that a lot of people were really big fans of, but I think that to see that to see you guys move on to bigger and better things after your career with Saban and the Power Rangers. I think that's a beautiful thing, and I think that just speaks volumes about how talented you guys really were. So I think it was always refreshing for me to see you guys working on other things.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I know when I was younger, I used to look up, I loved Wonder Woman, and my brother and I would pretend we were
absolutely
He-Man and She-Ra. And the Super Friends.
Yeah.
That's right. Absolutely.
Man, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Now, now you went to UCLA, which is actually one of my favorite universities here in America. It's one of my favorite universities. But how did you get started with your career in acting?
Well, interesting thing, Dee. The first year that UCLA had opened up their acting department to freshmen was the year that I was going to be a freshman. So they held a worldwide audition to get into the School of Theater at UCLA, and they were only accepting 50 people. And I remember a friend of mine, she was an upperclassman, she was a year ahead of me, and she was already at UCLA, and she was, I think, a business major. And she was telling me, you know, Nakia, it's going to be too hard to get into UCLA, you're going to have to audition, why don't you just declare another major and you know, try to get in that way. And I was like, no. I was like, you don't know who my God is, so I'm going to audition for this, and if God says that I can get in, then it's going to happen. And so
right.
I auditioned. I remember because I lived in Stockton at the time. All my family lives in Stockton still, so I go back and visit and stuff. So the closest audition for, you know, UCLA Theater was in San Francisco. So I remember going to the audition, and I remember I sang a song from Dreamgirls and acted out a scene from Dreamgirls, and I remember looking at them in their eyes and singing You're Gonna Love Me, that song You're Gonna Love Me, and just prayed afterward. I was like, Lord Jesus,
that's
please
right.
Let me get this. And I was accepted. I was accepted. It was me and another gentleman named Craig. We were the only African Americans accepted as freshmen that year. Two of us out of 60. Yeah. Yeah. So
That's
I felt
amazing.
Really, really honored to be a part of the school. So once I was in the school, my junior year, I got an audition for Power Rangers. And I have to be honest, at the time, I didn't know what Power Rangers was. I didn't watch much television because I was really into studying and actually, you know, partying because I was away from home. And I was like, woo, I have freedom. I get to party.
Right.
Los Angeles
That's right.
is huge. So I auditioned for UCLA. I know I made some wrong choices, but, you know,
It's okay.
I learned, and I graduated. Praise God. So
That's
I got
good.
The audition
right.
for Power Rangers my junior year and ended up booking the job, and I was simultaneously going to school while filming. And, you know, to this day, when I look at it, I'm like, I don't know how that was possible because I was, you know, 2 years of we would film from 6 o'clock in the morning till 6 p.m., so I was never in class. I had like independent studies and tutors coming to my house and helping me out so that I can, you know, graduate. But all in all, I graduated, was able to do something that I loved, which was act, and there you have it.
Well, that's amazing. I love the story about being chosen, you know, for the theater department at UCLA. That's amazing, and the fact that you went on. You know, to be, you know, great actress and work on Power Rangers and other different, you know, TV shows and movies. I think that, you know, that was truly a blessing in disguise, and you definitely utilized it. So congratulations to you, and definitely
you.
For, you know, some of the great things that you've done. I know I got some other great questions for you, but I know my partners want to get it in. Leo, you have any questions for Nakia?
Oh, yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, hon?
I'm good. Now, let's start by saying that I was having a little pre-midlife crisis before I logged on to the show. Now, dating back,
okay.
I was a child when Power Rangers first came out, like the first Power Rangers, and you guys make me feel young. That's good. I feel good now. Thank you. I needed to start by saying that.
So you're making me old. That's what you're trying to say. You're young and I'm old.
No. I don't. Mature, not old.
Okay.
That's a little bit better. So,
yeah, there you go. Now, my question for you is, now, going into a set like Power Rangers, was there any specific role that you wanted and could not get? Like a different color ranger, like preferably the pink ranger. Did you ever want to be that ranger?
You know what? When I auditioned for the show, I didn't know what Power Rangers was at the time. After like my fifth audition, well, I had 5 auditions for it, which is typically unheard of. Typically you have...
Yeah,
you know,
I was about to say that.
3. But Sista had 5. So... by that time, I started doing a little bit of research, but I was just happy to be on the show. They could have made me Purple Ranger. As long as
right.
I was on the show, I was fine with it, seriously. You know, it was to be able to go to school for acting and then to be able to start your career while you're still going to school for it, I mean, that was an absolute blessing in itself. So, I really didn't care what color I was. I was just happy to be on the show. You know, once I was on the show, I felt like the Zeo season, the first couple of episodes I was on the show, they really tried to groom my character and you know, make her someone identifiable by other people, and I had, you know, some great storylines. But towards the end of the season, I felt like, and Johnny would probably say the same thing, Johnny Bosch, who actually he has said the same thing, he played the Green Ranger. Our storyline seemed to fall in the back, while, you know, Jason David Frank's and Catherine's were more in the forefront. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that became, you know, we're like, okay, so we just stand back here and say, okay, yes, you know, just the 3 or 4 letter words. But overall, I could say, our overall experience, I think any one of us could say, you know, just to be able, that was my first real gig. So to be introduced to a television series as my first gig and to be able to do 100 episodes and a movie, I mean, it was a blessed time. Yeah, I could look back and say, oh, I could wish this or wish that. But overall, everything happened the way that it was supposed to happen, and I wouldn't change a thing. I would probably just appreciate it a little bit more towards my Turbo season.
Okay.
That would be it.
Okay.
That would be about it.
So,
yeah.
I asked you that question just only because I still yearn to be the White Ranger. That's where
Aww.
My heart is. I'm
well, you can still go get the costume. Go get the uniform. Put that on and be that White Ranger. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to do that. I'm fine there. You're probably going to 302 me, but I'm not going to
Wow.
do that.
Yes, indeed.
So my other question for you would be, where do you see your career going now? Is there any field that you had a passion for that you never got to explore? Or is there anywhere you want to go with your career?
Oh, absolutely. My goal is a sitcom. I would like to star, be a series regular on a sitcom. I enjoy dramas. I enjoy acting, period. But I would really love to be on a sitcom, and I'd like to do feature films as well. Currently, I'm an African-American Barbie doll on a series called Barbie's Life in the Dream House, which aired for the first time on Nickelodeon on Sunday. My character's role is Nikki. So I've been playing that for 2 years, and so I've been enjoying voiceover. That's been a lot of fun. But I definitely like to continue doing television and eventually get into bigger budget films. So this is only the beginning. I just plan on shooting a lot higher.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anthony, you have any questions from Nakia?
I have a bunch of questions. I'm gonna narrow them down.
Okay.
First of all,
hi Anthony.
How you doing?
I'm good.
So I have a question because I hear our actors always talk about landing, you know, a role or a breakout role. And then how it affects their perceptions of their career. So when you landed a series, did you have an idea of what you thought your career was going to be? And if so, what was it?
That is a very good question. You know, like I said, Power Rangers was my very first series, so I didn't really have anything to compare it to before. I was very happy to be on the series. When it ended for me, I was like, oh, my gosh, well, what's next? What am I going to do after this? I remember one of my professors actually in school had told me, he told me to get off Power Rangers as quickly as possible because I was going to be character typed and that it would be difficult to get another role. I didn't really feel like that's what happened with me. It may have happened with other people. I don't really feel like that's what happened with me. I haven't had that breakout role yet for me. I'm still waiting for the breakout role. And I'm hoping this year or at the latest next year that role will come. I've had films that have been offered to me, and if they just don't make sense, I'm just not going to do it. I don't care how much money is involved. I just read a script actually last week that I was offered one of a very significant role in it, and it just was not what I was looking to do. So I'm still waiting for that breakout role to answer your question. Hopefully that answered your question. Did that answer your question, Anthony?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was so many layers to it. And the second one is, after working so consistently, do you take a hit in your confidence or your perspective, like when you don't go directly from one series to another? Did the, like, doing just, like, being doing a feature on one sitcom or show and then doing it on
right.
another, does that affect you because you're so used to just being on every show, or does that not mess with your confidence at all?
Absolutely messes with your confidence. But you know what? I look back, and I was just having a conversation actually with Erin Cahill. She played in Time Force. We just came back from Minnesota this past weekend. We were doing a convention. I was with the Time Force Rangers, and we were talking about that. You know what? was hoping to do was, after Power Rangers, getting another series right afterward. The problem with that is God knew that if I got a series right after Power Rangers, I would not appreciate everything that I went through these past 15 years. I would not have appreciated it as much as I will appreciate it now. Since I've been off of Power Rangers, I've done guest star, I've done co-star, I've done featured roles. I've pretty much experienced almost every aspect of the entertainment business. But within that, I went through some health things in 2007. I was diagnosed with a lung disease called sarcoidosis, and it took me out of the industry for about two years. When you step outside of the industry for any period of time, you have to come back in and you got to start from the bottom all the way up again, because some of your contacts, some of the casting directors that would call you in directly, there were casting directors that would call me straight to producers or straight to directors. Some of them, you know, dwindled off. They were no longer there. So it's, for me, it's been starting from the bottom, you know, trying to rise back up to the top again. So, yeah, it definitely messes with your self-esteem, but you just got to keep going. You know, if it's in your heart and God says it's going to happen, it's just a waiting game, and that's how I see it. It's just a waiting game, and I don't think it's going to be too much longer, but, you know, I just keep waiting. I just keep waiting,
that's
keep
right.
auditioning. You know, God has been very kind to bless me with, you know, national commercials and, you know, co-star roles and some guest star roles and some featured roles, and I'm still waiting for my breakout role, and I know it'll come. And in the meantime, I continue to do this voiceover show and all of the other projects that I'm working on. I have a T-shirt clothing line called Eternally His Design that I've been working on as well. And, you know, my husband and I own a set company, so we're doing well. We're doing well. We're doing well.
That's good. I find it amazing. I'm sorry, Anthony. I find it amazing. I think sometimes I tend to talk to certain people, and I run into certain people for a reason. You know, you said that you were diagnosed with sarcoidosis in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
I was diagnosed with that in 2005.
Really?
And yeah, and you know, to this day, I had a really life-changing situation regarding that. Some life-threatening surgery regarding that, and to this day, I'm still going strong.
Uh-huh.
But I think the more and more I talk to more people, the more I'm hearing about it a lot more, because at first I was a little concerned because a lot of people didn't know too much about it, and you know,
right.
A lot of people, there was not a lot of knowledge about it. So the more and more I hear about situations like yours and other people I talk to, the more comfortable I feel about being able to deal with this and being able to move forward with my life and being able to progress and just, live my life every day like I always do, and not worry about any of those things at all.
Right.
And just getting through it and not worrying about it so much. And I think it's such a blessing, to hear things like that. And that was really a breath of fresh air for me when you mentioned that. And I was like, wow, that's another person I talked to that mentioned that they were diagnosed with that.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make me feel like I'm in this alone. You know, so I definitely thank you for that. You just gave me a nice little breath of fresh air with that.
How are you doing with that? How is your health?
I'm doing really good with it right now. There was a few, I had a few scares with it a year or two afterwards. A few setbacks, but right now I'm doing really great with it.
Good.
You know, I haven't had any complications with it. I'm doing really good with it. So everything is going pretty good right now.
Good. Amen. Amen. Yeah, It was a very challenging time in my life. I went from being on no medication to like 10 different pills, And then one
Absolutely.
Pill had to offset another pill, and then I blew up because I was on a steroid, so I looked like I ate myself.
Goodness.
And I was like, "What? I can't go and audition because I don't even look like my pictures." That was a time where I was just my self-esteem had dropped, and I thought, you know, I was going to get out of acting. I was just going to start teaching because I had, you know, substitute taught before. And I felt like, you know, I'll just go into teaching. I love children and da-da-da-da. And I just once after a year, a little over a year, when things became more stable and I was able to get off the steroid and off of all of the medication, I felt like God had put me back into the entertainment business. No matter how much I've tried to leave, there's just this desire to be there and to perform and to make people laugh. That's why I really want to do sitcom. So, you know, whatever hurdles that come our way, you just got to leap over them, and you got to go for
Absolutely.
Your goal, whatever your goal
Absolutely.
Is, because there's always going to be obstacles, and it's just, you know, it's your battle to choose to let it overcome you or you overcome it, and
That's
so
right.
I'm choosing to
That's
overcome
right.
it and keep walking forth.
Truly a blessing. That's a blessing in disguise. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Now, I got two really my two last questions for you. This one's kind of a two-parter. Now you also you're a singer and you also recorded your first pop album with your group Divine. What was that like?
That was interesting. It was while I was on Power Rangers, actually. Oh my gosh! And let me tell the audience and everybody else, be careful what you pray for. So when I was with my group Divine, I was on Power Rangers. I was filming the Turbo movie. So we would finish shooting the Turbo movie, and sometimes it would be 2 o'clock in the morning. I would leave the set. I would go record, and then I'd have to be back in the morning by 6 o'clock. I was so exhausted. Oh, my goodness, I was so exhausted. And I remember praying in my hotel room, asking God to let me rest. Be careful what you pray for, because that ended up being my last season on Power Rangers. And then soon after, there were some uncomfortable things within my group and management that I just didn't feel comfortable with, so I ended up leaving the group. And, you know, I'm still friends with the girls today. But
right.
it was a great experience. It was really a great experience. We performed a few places. We had a production deal. The album never – I think the album only got released in, like, Japan, so it never was released in America. But it was a great experience. I had a great time. You know, one day I'll return back to my singing. But, yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time.
So you're a superstar in Japan, is that the case? You're a singing, superstar in Japan.
Yeah, I don't know.
You may be surprised. You may take a trip to Japan and, you know, and you may get mobbed by a crowd because they might recognize
you.
Wow.
All
okay. Well, I know I was reading about that, and I thought that was kind of interesting that you had recorded your pop album with the group, and I was wondering how you were still doing with the singing. But I really truly do hope that you're able to do that again. I think that being multifaceted and being able to do different things as an entertainer, I think it gives you. It gives a person, you know, so much more to
mm-hmm.
work with, and you know, and it opens so many different doors. So I definitely
yeah.
do hope you get an opportunity to work on that again. It would be nice to definitely hear some of your music and hear you sing. We would love to hear that.
Oh well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
No problem. My last question for you, just looking at your career, the blessings that you've had, being an actress and the different things that you're working on now and just where you want to go in your career, not right now, from the time that you started. Looking at some of the up-and-comers and, some of the, new actors and actresses coming up that want to pursue their dreams and their careers, in this business, looking at everything that you've done and seen, what advice do you give to some of the new actors and actors coming up?
If there's no struggle, then it might not be worth the fight. You know, like I said before, there have been many times that I've, you know, felt very defeated, felt like, my gosh, I did such a great job at this audition, and why didn't I get chosen for the role, wanting to give up. But you know what? If it's something that's in your heart and God has put that desire in your heart, He will be faithful to see it through. Mm. And that's what I truly believe. And if things are handed to you so quickly, you're really not going to appreciate it. You're really not.
Right. I agree.
So I would say that anything that you set your mind to and you really have the heart and the desire to do, sometimes it takes a lot more work than other things. But if it's something that you truly, truly want and God has put it in your heart, then I think you should keep going for it and never give up. Never give up until you reach it. I was listening to, and the waiting period is the hardest. I was listening to this radio station today. I just wanted to share this really quickly. This pastor was talking about there was a family in, where were they? They were in Germany or England or something. This was back when, like in the 1700s or something like that. And they really wanted to come to America. This is based off a true story. They really wanted to come to America, and they didn't have the money. So they saved their money for 5 years. 5 years saved their money. And the day before they were supposed to come, their son got bit by a dog. And the medical expenses caused them to not be able to go.
Wow.
The father was very, very upset, very upset. For 5 days he was upset, upset at his son. And they later found out that the boat that they were going to go on crashed into an iceberg, which was the Titanic.
Oh, wow.
If they were on that ship, they would have never made it.
Absolutely.
So, yes, so every obstacle that we're faced with doesn't necessarily mean that it's a shutdown. It may be God is moving you to a different path, a different way, a different road. So that it's
and
not always a setback. It could be a push forward. So that's why the way that you got to see life. If it's meant to happen, it's going to happen,
that.
And nobody can prevent that from happening. I just thought that was a really interesting story, and I just heard it today. So I wanted to share
so
that.
Their son being bitten by a dog was their blessing. Because
it was an absolute blessing. Yes,
that was a boat ride they could have done without. Absolutely.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Wow, I appreciate you definitely sharing that with us. That was pretty good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Leo, you have any closing comments for Nakia?
I want to thank you for coming out. It's been great talking to you. Definitely inspirational. I want you to continue on with your career, and I wish you the best in that. And hopefully, you know, God blesses you more because you feel like it seems as if you know exactly where you want to be and you want to go, and I believe that you'll be there.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
For all of those that are listening, I have a website. Please check out my website.
Yes.
It's NakiaBarise.com, and there's headshots on there that are for sale, Power Ranger pictures, paraphernalia, and so forth. And I have
if anybody, Nakia, wants to also, if anybody wants to network with you on Twitter and Facebook, how would they be able to find you on there as well?
Nakia Barise, they're all under Nakia Barise. Nakia Barise, Facebook, but you can email me through my website as well, NakiaBarise.com,
right.
And that's two R's and one S.
Are you also an avid Instagrammer too?
You know, I just got on Instagram, and I'm still learning Twitter. I know that sounds special, but it does. I didn't know what hashtag was.
It's a lot of people still learning Twitter. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out Instagram. So, I mean, it's a lot of people that are still learning Twitter and Instagram. So, I mean, every time a new one comes up and you get used to it, then a new one pops up. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of hard to get used to.
Yes. So when I have my Facebook and my Twitter connected, so whenever I put things on Facebook, it automatically goes to my Twitter, so I've never quite gotten the Twitter. I'm still learning. So you could just look up Nakia Brees and everything should pop up.
Absolutely. Anthony, you have any closing comments from Nakia?
I enjoyed it. Two, I'm so impressed by your faith and the way you put it out there, because sometimes you hear that, you know, being a person of faith and being in the industry are diametrically opposed, like they don't fit together, and you're a shining beacon that you can have your faith and have your career and you don't have to compromise. So, you know, I love your integrity, and I love how you said it doesn't matter how much money. If it doesn't make sense, you're not doing it. And reminds me of something that Ozzie Davis and Ruby Dee said, you know, we want to be famous, but on our own terms. And so keep doing what you're doing. You know, and I wanted to ask you a question I'd get to ask. Can you really fight, or is that this all choreography? Sorry, I had
to You know what? When I see you, would you like me to do a demonstration?
My man, I hope it wasn't asked at all.
But you know what, Nakia, I think that he asked the kind of question that anybody that ever watched the Power Rangers or any of the Power Rangers, they're going to be thinking like, do they really know how to fight? Now, I know that some of the actors in some of the different shows were martial artists and different things like that, but I know that some people are always thinking like, do they really know how to fight? You know, do they really know how to fight like that? I think that he just asked something that some people are always thinking, you know.
Jason David Frank, Johnny Bosch, and Steve Cardenas, they are all martial artists. I would not try to touch them whatsoever because they will mess you up. Catherine and I, we came in as dancers and we learned different fighting techniques on the show. And I have taken some of those fighting techniques. So if you'd like, when I see you, we can do some karate chop chop.
Demonstration. Okay.
No, I'm not a martial artist in any way, shape, or form, but I think I do all right.
I like that. That was good. Well, Nakia, I want to say I truly want to say on behalf of myself and the D Hour Network and my co-host, it was truly an honor and a wonderful blessing to have you on the show with us tonight.
Thank you.
And as far as we're concerned, you're no longer a guest. You're a family member of this network now. We're going to continue to keep supporting you and everything that you're doing, and definitely telling everybody about your new ventures as you come across them. And we'll definitely keep everybody up to date with what's going on with you. And we would love to get you back on the show with us again in the future, absolutely. But it was truly a blessing to have you on the show. And you're a family member now of this network, so definitely welcome to the DL Radio Network, Pam.
Thank you. How far are you guys from Rhode Island?
We're kind of branched out all over. I mean, I'm in Arizona.
Yeah.
Elio is in Philadelphia. And Anthony is
in Los Angeles.
Okay. All right. Well, awesome. Oh, well, because I was going to be out in Rhode Island. I have a convention out there, and I have a convention in Rhode Island November 1st through the 3rd, and then I have one in Pueblo, Colorado, October 4th through the 6th. So I was going to see if I can meet some of you in person.
Now, how often do you guys get across the country with the conventions? Like, how often do you guys do those?
Well, you know, I just started doing them a little bit more. So right now it's kind of averaging about once a month or once every other month. You know, I have one next month, and then I have two in November. I don't have any in December right now. So I'm looking into possibly doing a little bit more because it's a blessing to meet a lot of the fans. I mean, when I got on the show, no one could have told me that Power Rangers would be remembered 20 years later. So
I was definitely going to ask you that. Like, are you amazed that there are, like, more fans than you thought it was going to be?
Absolutely amazed. In addition to that, a lot of the fans remember more than I do. And I'm like, oh, I did that. When did that? What? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a true blessing. I mean, I honestly would not have thought that this one time. And even when I, when people ask me what I've done, I can mention, you know, 90210 or whatever, all of these other shows, but they'll be like, oh, that's great. But if I mention Power Rangers, oh, yeah, that's the show they remember.
Yeah.
That's the show they remember. So, okay, I know I've talked your ears off. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you
for showing up.
I
say yes, absolutely. We had a wonderful time with you. And Nakia, if you don't mind, just for myself and Elio and for the fans that are listening right now who may have forgotten, who may not have remembered, you know, which Power Rangers show that you were involved in. If you don't mind, I would like to remind everybody real quick, if you don't mind.
I was on Power Rangers Zeo and Power Rangers Turbo and the Turbo movie, and I played the role of Tanya.
Yes. Power Rangers Zeo. And for all the fans that don't remember Power Rangers Zeo, let me just help you remember real quick.
Just for everybody to know,
just for those fans who might have forgotten, you know, just to give them a little reminder. But again, Nakia, we had a wonderful time with you. Thank you so much. It was a blessing to have you on the show with us.
Thank you so much,
definitely for myself and my host. But we had an incredible time with you, and would love to get you back on the show again in the future. Absolutely.
I will be back, even if you don't want me. Ha!
Oh, well, I like that. And maybe you'll be able to demonstrate some of the moves on Anthony, because since he's kind of curious, you know. So,
but you're the host, so you have to sit in the spotlight. You know, I can't take your shine.
Oh my goodness.
Well, Nakia, you have a blessed night, and thank you so much for joining us. And I look forward to some of the great things you're going to be working on in the future.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great night, too. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye. The Hour Radio Network, ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful Miss Nakia Baris joining us right here on the show tonight. Getting it in for the fit-ins, as usual. That was smooth, though, and I like that. I mean, I was kind of curious myself, like, you know, did she really get down like that? Did she really bust the moves on cats like that? You know, and I know, like I said,
yeah.
I know some of the other guys on some of the other shows were martial artists. I think Jason David Frank, he's probably one of the most well-known Power Rangers, because he was on so many different shows. And I know he's a black belt and avid martial artist. And I think at one time he was talking about getting into mixed martial arts as well, MMA. So I'm not really sure how successful he got with that. But, yeah, I mean, you just asked a question that a lot of cats, you know, I'm pretty sure some cats at the convention be like, do you really know how to fight like that? Or looking at it like, I wonder if she really get down like that. I wonder if I dress up as one of the villains and attack her, will she beat me down? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm pretty sure, you know, some of the cats figure that, like, damn, I wonder if she really know how to fight like that. But, was funny. I was thinking it, but you just said what I was thinking. You know, I was like, damn, does she really know how to fight like that? But, that was cool, though. I like that.
Kid in me came out, because, I mean, the first thing, you're like, oh, this is a black actress. She's done a thing, and you want to know. But then the kid come out like, can you fight?
I know that's real. No, that's real, though. That's real. No, that's funny. I like that. Now, real quick, guys, look, before I kick you some more music off real quick, did you guys check out the VMAs?
No, I didn't.
I didn't.
Talking about MTV?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the Miley Cyrus thing.
Oh my God! Did you see the debacle that was called the Did you see the outrage or the embarrassment that was called Miley Cyrus?
Oh my goodness! I don't know what happened.
Well, I mean,
to her.
What was she? Dude, I don't know what's going. Well, I'm like, what the hell is going on with these white kids from Disney? I'm like, what's going on with them? Miley Cyrus, Lindsay Lohan had lost her damn mind. Justin Bieber out there losing his mind. I'm like, what's going on with these cats?
Well, that's what happens when you're famous from the time you're young, and instead of getting nurturing and getting mentorship, you get told yes, and people follow your directions. I mean, let's be for
crazy.
Real. Who was really that intelligent
out there,
at 15?
It was horrible, man. She out there, she got her tongue out like she Michael Jordan. Every time I turn around, she licking her tongue out, and she dancing around, and she kept grabbing her crotch like she was Michael Jackson. I was like, man, what's going on with this chick? And then she pull off the little costume, and then she start twerking like she had something. That's like, I was like, it looked like a pair of jeans. It just looked like shorts. I mean, I was like, you ain't got nothing to twerk.
Yeah.
What is you twerking? I was like, you know, that's like trying to, you know, her twerking, her putting some tight shorts on and trying to twerk is like trying to give a vegan a steak sandwich. I mean, it's not working. You know what I'm saying? It's not gonna work.
I mean, it was disturbing to me. It definitely wasn't Janet Jackson sexy at all, but it was kind of perverted almost with the whole little stuffed animal thing in between the legs. It creeped me out a little bit.
It was a lot overkill.
You know, and it's like this. I always tell brothers, we had this discussion last time. If a woman is trying to throw it like that, my question is, what's wrong with it? Because you are trying to sell the product way too tough for me. It's like, wow. It's like, you know, I bet
when she was dancing all up on Robin Thicke, I bet Robin Thicke was sitting there looking like, damn, can somebody get up here and get her some ass injections or some implants or something? Because and people was like, well, I wonder what is Paula Patton going to say? She didn't have to say nothing. She was looking ridiculous. Paula Patton didn't have to say a damn thing.
What he was really thinking is, baby, have you seen my wife? this is not working.
Exactly. Exactly. You're like, really?
Maybe you should go
he's
see
like,
a couple
he's
movies
like, look
at my wife.
He's sitting there like, somebody get some, one of the Disney kids got a hold of some cracks, and somebody come up here and get her real quick or something. I mean, it was crazy, man. I think that I just, my mouth was open. I was just like, are you serious? I was like, what is she doing?
Like, wow.
Did any of you guys get a chance to see the Lindsay Lohan interview with Oprah?
No, I know. That just sounds like something. I don't know what
hey,
it sounds like something.
I heard that Oprah kind of basically just like challenged her to get right. You know, Oprah challenged her to get right because Oprah was, you know, she was basically kind of like, you know, you were well known. You was on top, huge Disney star, broke out to start doing your own thing, and then it's just like, and in which I do give Lindsay Lohan credit, she's an amazing actress. She's an amazing actress, but you know, it's just like it's like you said, and it's like when they have no guidance, you know, the type of guidance that they should be getting, and especially at that young of an age. It's like, you know, they go sideways and then they start getting involved with alcohol and drugs and then it's just pretty much downhill. You know, instead of them going uphill, it's just downhill. You know, so it's like pretty much Oprah just kind of challenged her to just get right. I challenge you to get right. You know, I challenge you to get it together again. Get back on top. You know, so I don't know. I mean, if you guys get an opportunity to definitely see it, because I know I think it's
I think a couple of people said that you can go on YouTube and check out her interview with Oprah. So I don't know.
It was
Oprah got it in with her, but you know Oprah get it in with everybody. You know, she talked to the Kardashians and she talked. Man, I mean, speaking of that, did y'all know that Lamar was on crack like that?
Say what? That's crazy.
I was
that
like,
was
what?
Crazy.
That threw me. I had no idea Lamar was getting down like that. I had no idea.
I had no
idea.
So you
like
just
that.
Said it right now.
I had no idea
wow.
Lamar was on drugs like that, bro. Had no idea. I was like, crack, what? Yeah, I had no idea he was on drugs like that. I mean, but I mean, and I'm going to assume that that's probably the reason why Chloe probably gave him a second chance or another opportunity, because she's probably thinking, you know, things going on with his career, the things he was doing, him messing around, that it probably had a lot to do with the drugs, and in which it probably could have, but I don't know. But I'm going to assume that that's probably why she probably decided to give him another chance.
Yeah, she's attributing.
You know, claiming that she's going
to
try to help him
get
his life back together. Exactly.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you know, saying that she's going to try to help him get his life back together. I mean, and that's all good. That's all good. You know, said and done. But you know, the bottom line is you know, it's not going to mean a thing if that's not what he wants. You know, if he's not going to try it, if that's not what he really wants to do, it's going to be a waste of time for us.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully, you know, I always thought Lamar was a cool dude. You know, I never really, you know, he never really came out there like that, or did anything that allowed me to, you know, dislike him or his character, but. I really do hope that brother gets together. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it's sad to see some people. I mean, it's sad to see anybody, but then we going through it. But when you see people who have the talent and ability to affect so many others and to be a catalyst, you know, as an example, as a role model, as somebody who has the means to change, you know, watching them go down, you know, you start to lose hope in other things, because it's like, wow, the best and brightest of us are going down, you know, what hope does it have for others? And I'm really worried for the people who looked up to him, you know, as a role model and as a benchmark for what to do, like what they're feeling now, you know? That's some stuff.
That's real. That's real, bro. But, like I said, definitely prayers go out to him and his family, man. Hopefully he can get it together and get his life back in order, get back to basketball and, you know, all those wonderful things he was a part of. Hopefully he can get that going again. Diablo Radio Network Tuesday spot, D Slate in the building. Man, Elio, Anthony, we're getting it in with you guys tonight. You already know how we do it. Playing, we gotta get back to these hits. Hopefully when we come back, we'll be getting it in, you know, with my brother Keith Robinson, actor, singer, writer Keith Robinson, joining us on the show tonight. And if you don't know, Keith Robinson, you know, got his start with Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue at the Green Ranger, the brother Green Ranger, and he was also a part of some hit movies as well, Dreamgirls, This Christmas, 35 and Ticking, and some other great TV sitcoms as well over there, American Dreams, Half and Half. So definitely can't wait to get it in with him. But right now we got some Bridget Carrington. We got some crazy Dre's of Dr. Fetch with his new hit single, Two Turntables. It goes down right here on the Tuesday spot. We'll see you guys in a minute.
Yeah. Yo. It goes two turntables and a microphone. You know Dre never leave a mic alone. I keep it gangster like Al Capone. Won't stop, hello hip hop, I am home. Been around the world I'm known. On my Mick Jagger shoes, I'm a Rolling Stone. Miggity might be out in Rome, everywhere I roam. I do me like a 2-3, I'm in the zone. Yeah, the sickity style I own. Miggity biting when I'm writing, no I don't condone. These rappers smell as sweet like some cheap cologne. And Miggity make me wanna cut the bus off the throne. But I chill like a king on the throne. Do my thing in the ring, something like Stallone. You know the
come, it's go time. Get the crowd hype, rip the mic in no time. Look into my eyes, there's no surprise and no I'm on my Swiss beat, that mean it's showtime. I don't need a beat, I heat it up acapella. Baby, I'm the bomb, you could ask Akinelli. Coming from the under with the thunder like Shelly. Man, you know how we do, Ronnie Boo, is you ready? Deadly with the flow, already know my history. Go against me, yo, and seize your history. That's like drinking whiskey with fire, that's risky. We can rock any show, that's the show, just give me. Every mic I get, riggedy prone, niggity known, and riggedy right that hit. So front, you niggity know, you niggity like that. Yeah, I got you open, motherfucker. Rough rhyme, sometimes keep trucker like a trucker. OG, you know me, niggity never been a sucker. Click, clack, hit jack, hit you with the blocker, 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 blocker. Yeah, and it only gets rougher. Kill it, that's a must, so the hit is just tougher. Hip hop, it don't stop, I can never get enough. I'm crazy, crazy, don't be crazy, they can never be another. Yeah. Get you high like it's smoking. Wiggity rock any show, that's guaranteed. You know I don't need much, just all I need is just two turntables and a microphone.
Boy, Tyrese, you ain't gotta deal with the drama, just send a boy back home to his mama. Oh, baby, I want you. There's nothing in my way. We can keep the party moving if you want to. But my energy is getting low. You could rise to a season just to keep a lady waiting. What you gon' do?
Tell me what you gon' do now.
Cause I got a little freak in me. Cómo te mueves, te digo que te quiero cuando tú me atreves.
Can't get enough of you, turn me on.
I'm gonna get right. I can feel the warmth of supercharged right when you came inside. Every moment that I'm with you, I pretend I'm lost to let you find a way to come in for two.
All I need is you.
Cause I got a little freak in me. You know about it, Jay.
Tú no te vas a llevar, no te vas a equivocar if you're gone with me.
You might know me, I'm 50 Cent. You may follow my tweets, my Facebook friends. Odds are a few in a 6 degrees separate us. We're that close. What's crazy is 1 in 6 don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Hunger's too close for us to ignore. So visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to see how you can make a difference. From one close friend to another, let's do this. I'm 50 Cent, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Tuesday Spot, welcome back. D. Slate, Elio, Ant Rucker, Anthony Rucker in the building, getting it in for the fit-ins, playing the hits. Miss Jasmine Ray with her new single, Battery. Before that, Bridget Carrington from the hit TV show Duet with her new single, Mama's Boy. You already know how we do it, getting it in for the fit-ins. Ladies and gentlemen, right now it's time for us to introduce our second guest for tonight. The talented, the incredible acting ability of the brother Keith Robinson. You've seen him. He debuted in a TV series, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue, as the Green Ranger. You see him in such hit movies like Dreamgirls, Fat Albert, This Christmas, 35 and Ticking, and such great TV shows like Monk, Half and Half, Over There, American Dream. And now, the brother's an incredible actor, singer, and writer, and working on some current incredible things, and we would definitely get an opportunity to talk with him about that. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm The Hour Show welcome to the brother Keith Robinson in the building.
What's happening? That's a nice
Keith,
intro, man. I like that intro.
Well, you know, I got to do
happening?
That for you, bro. I got to do that
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, I like that.
Now, first and foremost, bro, I got to say, and, you know, we just had Nakia Barise on the show. She was in Power Rangers Zeo and Power Rangers Turbo. And
oh, is that right? Okay.
We just had her already. Now, what I want to say, bro, because I've seen you in all those different movies I named, man, and you were incredible in those movies. Incredible in those
Thanks,
movies.
Man.
And it's something I'm going to get in with you about the movie 35 and Tick, and I'm going to talk to you about that one. But
right.
I wanted to say that of course, you know, we're huge Power Rangers fans, man. I'm a Power Rangers fan, you know, my man Elio, my man Anthony was actually a Power Ranger villain fan, but it's all good though. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
But just saying that to see your progression, bro, to see you go on from that show, from that TV series, and move on to such greater and bigger things, like ER and Over There and Half and Half and American
yeah.
Dreams, and to be involved in such, you know, hit movies, Fat Albert and Dreamgirls and This Christmas and, you know, 35 and Ticking, man, to be surrounded by such incredible talent and to be able to be involved in that and to add on to such great performances, you know, with your talent as well. I think that speaks volumes about your character, and it speaks volumes about the type of talent that you have. And it's refreshing for me, man, to be able to see you progress and move on, you know, from the Power Rangers, and you move on to such great big TV shows and movies like that, man. And I just want to congratulate you, bro. You're very talented, man. I want to congratulate you.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you very, very much, man. No doubt.
You know, and that's what it's all about. But definitely, you know, for the fans, you know, everybody that's listening right now, I mean, how did you get started in the acting business?
Well, the acting thing was actually kind of an accident for me, man, believe it or not, because I came out here with a group. I'm a singer, songwriter. I moved out here with my R&B group. We had just gotten out of a major record deal, and we were just moving to L.A. really to relocate and re-sign and make a record and go back to Atlanta. But in the interim, while I was here, I ventured into an acting class with a friend and, you know, gave it a shot. They didn't have enough readers that night, and, you know, the teacher thought I was good, and she called me back, you know, a few weeks later and told me to go read for this role, which was Power Rangers, and I ended up getting, she ended up being my manager for the next 8 years. So it was the divine appointment, I like to call.
That's what's up.
Yep.
No doubt. Now,
that's how I went down.
Now you're singing now. So that was your first passion. That was the thing you were working on.
Yeah, music is definitely the first love. I mean, I went to, you know, like I said, I went to an acting class really just to see what it was about and help my stage presence. But I mean, I started in music, and, you know, I still do music, of course. So that's kind of where the original love came from for the arts, was music.
That's what's up. Now, man, just looking at some of the movies and TV shows that you were involved in, I mean, what was that experience like for you in being involved in such great TV shows and film, and then such, you know, then the incredible actors, man, that you were surrounded around?
It's great. I mean, it's always a learning experience when you're around professionals. You know, it's validating to know that you can stand on the tape with them and do your thing. So it was a number of things for me. I mean, it was all so left field for me beyond what I ever even anticipated my Hollywood experience
That's
being,
right.
So I just try to take it with a grain of salt and learn and figure out ways to keep doing it, you know what I mean?
That's what's up, bro, no doubt. I got
yeah.
my brother Anthony Rucker in there, but Anthony, any questions for Keith?
Yeah, because I was looking at your bio, man, you've done a lot, and I always wonder, like, when you first meet somebody who's, like, that you know or that's big in the industry that you're in, like, sometimes it can be, you know, awe-inspiring or just intimidating. What was the most intimidating situation you've ever been in, like, on the set with somebody who you admired?
Intimidating?
Or just, you know, just, like, memorable. I guess intimidating might be too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of memorable ones. I guess the most uneasy is when you're around a huge star in between takes. You know what I mean? Because you don't really know where they're at, if they want to communicate. So you kind of have to feel them out and get it for at least some,
right.
at least some big. So that was probably the thing that I had to learn, or kind of what I was very cognizant about. It's not like, because it's like, even though you might want to ask them a million questions, or just somebody you grew up watching, now you're standing there beside them working with them. It was kind of like, it was like that for Eddie Murphy, you know. I didn't really, me and him doing the scene was kind of surreal to me at first. So I was like, I wanted to ask him so many things, like about 48 Hours and about Raw and about all these movies that you grew up watching. But, you know, you gotta keep it. You gotta keep
it
cool.
Bro. That's real.
You know what I mean?
You
so
tell the joke again that you said on Raw, man.
Yeah. You want to just ask him about his whole experience, but you don't want to, like, talk his ear off and then, you know, if they
right.
get this dude off the set, man. So I was just trying to get through the project, man. So that's
not
probably the biggest challenge.
If I met Eddie, I'd be doing this bit, but Eddie!
Right.
Like, who is this fool? Like, who is this
right.
fool letting him on the set?
Exactly. Exactly.
No doubt.
Up,
no doubt. Leo, you have any questions for Keith?
Oh yeah. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. How you?
I'm good. All right. First question for me is, I see a sort of a similarity in a lot of the actors and actresses that come on to our set, with the musical background, the acting background, just like a creative spirit as a whole. Now, what is your biggest complications, you know, incorporating all of those different types of fields into your career path? What's the biggest complication with that?
The biggest complication in what, trying to do both of them? Is that what you asking?
Yeah, trying to multitask in between two.
Well, I guess the biggest thing may be just time management, you know what I mean? Knowing, you know, what to focus on, when to focus on, and then really just trying to make one side believe the other. You know, if you can, once you do something really good, then if you get put in a box really quickly, so you have to fight hard to show them that you're not just one dimensional. You know,
right. Now, do you feel like you're starting to, you begun to sway away from your first heart, which was music, or did you always try to find that balance?
I mean, I always try to find that balance. It's natural for me. I don't really know how to sway away from it, because when I'm not on set, then I'm headed to the studio. It's just something I've done my whole life. So it'd be kind of unnatural for me to sway away from either one of them. I'm like a true artist at heart. So if I'm not doing one, I'm definitely hustling the other one.
So should we be expecting
it balance for me? Huh?
No, I was going to ask, should we be expecting an album pretty soon?
Yes. Right now, I just... download on the iPhone or Android. It's got like 11 songs, 7 videos. I got a new single out right now called Same Rules, and another one out called Loving You, and I'm finishing up the album right now.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah.
Well, bro, you definitely gotta shoot me the two singles, man, so we could definitely get it in rotation. I'd like to hear that myself.
Yeah. I will shoot
That's
you guys
real.
That. When we hang up, you got my email. Well, I'll email them to you. I got your email. I email you the singles. And
for sure. Yeah,
email you
definitely
the,
get it.
You got an
man.
iPhone.
Can,
download the app. They're actually on the app as well. So when you hang up, y'all can download the app. It's Utopia. And you can see a lot of things are happening
for
right
sure.
there.
Yeah, definitely send that to me so we can get in rotation. I like to hear the new singles myself. I know I was looking at you know, some of the things that you were, you know, doing on YouTube and everything. And I was like, yeah, I definitely can't wait to hear his music. But
right.
I gotta say too, bro, that 35 and Ticking, man, that was kind of a hidden gem for me, because I know a lot of people had talked about the movie, and I hadn't seen it yet. So when I got an opportunity to check it out, I was like, wow, man, it was a really good movie. You know, not
right.
just funny, but, you know, so many different meanings and so many different messages that was coming out of the movie. But it was a great movie, and I was happy at the fact that you were a part of that, man, and, you know, and
right.
the things that you
right.
brought
Thank
to the table in that movie. Was it cool? You know, how was it working with Kevin?
it's hilarious. You know, Kevin Warner, the boys, it's just like working on one of your homies, you know what I mean? So it was
That's real smooth and easy.
Yeah.
You know, because I noticed you guys had a really good rapport, you know, so I was like, you know, it's things like that. You know, he's really, you know, meshing well with him, and he's definitely getting it in. It was, like I said, it was a hidden gem for me, man. So it was really refreshing when I saw you in that movie. So definitely. You know, you talked about the new album. You talked about the new music. Now, do you have any other, you know, any other passions, man, hidden passions or things that you would like to accomplish in your career that you haven't really got a chance to step into yet?
Well, I mean, I definitely love to play some, you know, some great roles, some autobiographies and, you know, big movies, big records. That's kind of goes without saying. I'd love to direct. I'm actually working on a series right now that I'm co-writing, so I'm definitely looking to get behind the camera as well. So I'm trying to transition into that. So I have a lot of
no doubt
vision for that.
Now,
so.
I know when I was talking with Nakia, you know, she mentioned, you know, some of the, you know. Now, do you get a chance to go to any of the Power Ranger conventions?
You know what? I haven't been to one yet, but I said I'm going to go this year. So this will probably be the first year that I'll go. Man. I've never been to any yet.
Yeah, man. She talked about how even herself, you know, she was amazed of how many fans 20 years later there still is, you know, with the Power Rangers, man. And I was like, yeah, I know. I said, you know, a lot of people, you know, really, really like the show, and to this day still watch it. I said, but yeah, I was kind of amazed myself at how many fans there is now, you know, with the series and with some of the shows. So, I know that would, you know, be kind of interesting. But yeah, I'd like to check one of those out myself. But definitely, man, it's good to see that, that you're getting it in, man, and you're getting your grind in, not just with your music, but with film and television as well.
No doubt.
With some of the with some of the new actors and actresses coming up, man, and you know, seeing where you are with your career, not just with music, but with television and film, but you know, with any entertainer, man, coming up and trying to make their dreams come true, man, and trying to get at it in this entertainment business, you know, you yourself looking at where you've been and the things that you've done, what advice would you give to some of the new and up and coming entertainers?
Well, I would tell them they got to just stay consistent, you know, to not let, there's a lot of naysayers, it's highly competitive, it's a lot of rejection, but you got to stick to your guns and push through that, you know, and sooner or later you'll get to where you're going if you're in it for the long haul.
That's real.
You know what I mean?
Well, I feel that, bro, and I think that, you know, just looking at where you are and some of the many great things that you've been a part of, I think that advice should definitely not go on deaf ears, and I really do hope, you know, some of the new cats that are listening right now that's trying to strive there really take heart to that. But I just want to say, you know, it's truly an honor, man, to, you know, to have you a part of this and, you know, hang out with us tonight. Anthony, any closing comments for Keith?
Man, just keep doing what you're doing. And are you going to get into writing more stuff? Because I heard you talk about you're working on the series and you're writing.
I got a few projects right now that we're working on at the same time, so. I'm hopefully you guys will see some from me coming sooner than later for top of the year, so we'll be on the fast track for that. So I'll definitely stay in contact with you guys and let you know what's up.
No doubt.
Yes,
indeed. Elio, any closing comments for Keith?
Definitely. Stay true to you, man, and big ups to your career, and I hope to see you on the screen more often.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it, man.
And Keith, bro, if anybody want to, you know, check you out as far as a social network and a website, whatever, where can they find you at?
My Twitter is Keith Sings. My Instagram is Keith Sings as well. Definitely hit me up. I'll holler back. The new app on iPhone and Android is called Utopia. It's a free download. It's 11 songs, a bunch of videos, ways to keep up with me. I'll be in touch. You know what I'm saying? As stuff develops, I'll let you guys know. Keep you guys in the loop.
You got a Facebook?
That's what's up, bro. And I just want to say
Facebook is Keith Robinson Sings, actually.
That is no doubt. And I just want to say, bro, thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight. Definitely make sure to shoot me the two singles, man, so we can definitely get that in airplay and rotation. And I just want to say, man, it was a pleasure. Honor to have you on the show with us, bro, man. You know, definitely
right,
keep doing what you're doing, you know, and stay blessed, man. We're going to stay on top of everything you're doing and definitely make sure we tell everybody to check you out.
I appreciate it, bro. Y'all do the same, man.
All right, bro. Stay blessed, man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
You too. All right, man.
The Hour Radio Network, that was my man Keith Robinson joining us on the show tonight, actor, singer, writer, getting in. For those that don't know, that probably don't remember, he originated as the Green Ranger from Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue. And if y'all don't remember that, let me give you a little hint. I could just see me putting on the helmet and jumping off the garage right about now. But, you know, I'm just saying, man. You know, I'm bringing back memories. I'm bringing the memories back. But, yeah, you know, just for those that didn't remember, you know, my man Keith Robinson, he was the Green Ranger on Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue. And like I said, as you can see, you know, he progressed in some great movies and great television as well, and, you know, working on his music. So, I mean, it's good to see cats multifaceted and, you know, just multitasking and doing different things, you know, in the business. That's what you got to do these days. You know, just staying true to one thing, you know, it's not going to get you to, you know, to that satisfaction that you're looking for in the entertainment business. You got to kind of move yourself around in different areas and, you know, work on different things. Real quick for my brothers, I'm really motivated to get, you know, I've talked about this before. I'm really motivated, man. I'm trying to brainstorm, and I'm trying to come up with a channel that I want to put on YouTube, and you know what type of videos I want to create and put on there. I don't know if you guys have heard of this dude. I can't remember the name. But I saw an article to talk about this one cat, man. He put these videos of these crazy looking video games on YouTube, and then in the corner of the video, you could see a video of him, you know, just kind of saying all type of off the wall, you know, stuff, you know, during this while this video game is going on, and he's getting so many looks and so many views. They're saying that this cat is making somewhere between $1 million to $5 million a year off YouTube.
Hmm. That's amazing.
That's easy money. And I'm just like, and I'm looking at the videos, and I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, this dude is making this kind of money off these lame ass videos.
Yep, it's about the hits,
but Cass
man.
Is watching it.
The
kids is viewing it. The kids is watching it. I mean, that's the same thing goes for the what was the name of the show with the fruit that they had the mouths and the fruit that was talking? You know, that they had that posted on YouTube, and that's where it started at. And that cat was making like somewhere between $200,000 to $300,000 a year. Ooh. And I was like, it's just like cats is making, they're making that kind of money off YouTube. And it's almost like it's a channel, and it's almost like it's a TV show, and they're putting these videos on it, because that's pretty much the mindset that you have to kind of go into if you want to create a successful channel on YouTube. It's almost like you got to look at it, you have to approach it as you're a director or producer of a new sitcom or TV show, and you're putting it on YouTube.
You know, so I was like, I can't continue to sit by and let these lame-ass cats keep making money off Google. I'm like, I got to get a piece of the pie. I got to get my piece of the pie.
All you need is that one video.
It's insane.
All you need is one.
That's all you need. I mean, I heard that some people put videos on YouTube, and it could be something crazy that their kids or pets have done. And if the video goes viral, depending on how you have it set up, if the video goes viral, Google breaking you off check every month.
Yeah. That's why people do all that stuff. They try to figure out something. They try to figure out something to go. They said you become like a partner or something once you get
right. Yeah, because I'm like this. We gonna have to get a fee. We gonna have to be a part of that. I'm like, if it's going down like that, and you got several cats making that type of money off of YouTube, and I know, granted, I know a lot of it has to do with a lot of the advertisement that's on YouTube, you know, film and commercials and different things like that. But man, I got to get a piece of that. I've got to get a piece of that. Sorry. But with that being said, oh, no doubt. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we got some more hits. We got to play these. We got to keep these hits going when we come back. The number one segment on the D-Hour Radio Network's Tuesday spot, Real Men Talking, is coming back when we come back. Oh, it's going down. It's going down. We got some pretty good questions we're going to be discussing tonight on Real Men Talking. So, ladies, if you're listening right now, don't be shy. If you have some relationship questions that you would like to hear a man's point of view on, because you can't ask women question about men, and I know y'all keep on doing that, and you keep on getting the wrong answers. So if you have some questions, you would like any relationship questions, you would like a man's point of view on, and you want to know what we think, and you want to know how we can help, call us right now, 718-766-4553, 718-766-4553. Get your question in. Don't be shy. We're gonna answer the details, and as much as we're gonna try to help you as much as we can. If not, we're gonna tell you that you're ass out, and you probably need to find another man. I mean, it's whatever comes to mind. You know what I'm saying? Whatever we think of, we're gonna try to help you. So if you need that help, and you want us to give you that advice, just call in 718-766-4553. Real Men Talking. I got some Stephen Knight. I got some MC Light. I got some Marcus Houston. Oh, it's going down. We'll be right back with Real Men Talking. You better not go nowhere.
Now that's all. a champion. Realize check mechanism.
Hi, Shaquille O'Neal for Rap. This is not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, the Albert Radio Network Tuesday Spot. D. Slay, Leo, Anthony in the building. We getting it in for the fit-ins, playing the hits. That was Miss Proper. Get it started. Before that was Stephen Knight with Forever, MC Light Craven. You know we do it like that, playing the hits. All your favorite celebrity artists and indie artists right here on the Tuesday Spot. Big shout out to the beautiful Miss Nakia Baris and my man Keith Robinson for joining us on the Tuesday Spot tonight. Definitely you check, Mitch. Definitely you.
Yes, yes, yes. Hello? Hello?
And as you can see, fellas, we're getting ready to get real men talking started again. Some angry ladies tried to hang up on me. But it don't go down like that, you know what I'm saying? Because we gonna bring it, ladies. Sorry. It don't work on you, bro. It don't work on me. But I just want to say definitely make sure you guys check out Nakia Baris and Keith Robinson on Facebook, Twitter. Check out their website. And make sure you check out Keith's music on iTunes. Utopia, download his Utopia app. Check out Nakia on her website, NakiaBaris.com. And make sure you get it in with them. And definitely look them up on Facebook and Twitter. They will contact you and get back to all the fans, all of their fans, and everybody that supports them. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the number one segment on the Tuesday Spots. We like to call Real Men Talking, where real men get it in and answer all the ladies' love and relationship questions and give you our point of view and what we think. And we'll try to help you and be as detailed as we possibly can. Ladies, right now is your time. Right now is your time. Ladies, don't be shy. 718-766-4553. 718-766-4553 if you have some questions for us right now for Real Men Talking. I'm going to start it off first for the fellas. And, you know, to see if I can help them get it popping, you know, with this real man talking thing. Let me see if I can get it in for my bros. Here it is. The first question, how do you know when you found real love? How do you know?
You mean just in general, or a woman and a man? Are you talking from a man woman perspective, or just in general?
I think it's from a woman's perspective. You know, women saying, how do you know when? Well, I guess you can look at it in both aspects, but I guess she might be generally asking, you know, how do you know when you found real love? I'm gonna start off with Anthony.
Wow, that's a tough one. Because for me, when brothers always ask me, how do you know it's the one, I say, when you don't ask that question.
Uh-huh.
Because for me, if you ask the question, you know, there it is. And I think that would translate to women, too. It's like, if you have to ask the question, then it's not. And then you should ask yourself, why am I asking that question? What about him or her is making me have those doubts? Or why am I having those doubts? And then you have to deal with that. But I mean, it depends on what you say true love is. I mean, some people want an unconditional life partner. Some people want somebody who is going to, you know, help them attain their dreams and this, that, and the other, and their love is tied up inside of that. So, you know, the first thing I'd have to ask when you ask that question is, you know, especially from a clinical point of view, is like, what's your definition of love? Because based on your definition, that's going to change my answer. You know,
that's real.
But for me, from a personal point of view, outside of the clinical, I would say, you know, when I don't ask that question.
That's real. Leo?
I would definitely have to agree with that. You should never, ever, ever have to ask that question to feel that. So it's like that. It's the feeling you get when you metaphorically are ready to jump out of a plane. So you know when you're at that breach, when it crosses your heart, when it crosses your mind, when you're around this person, when you're with this person, it's the only person you can think about. It's an ongoing thing. So it's something that you never have to question. You sure to like go into the field. There's no like set point in time. It's like, okay, at 11:54 Tuesday morning, September 9th, I fell in love with you. No, it's no set point. It's you sort of go in this trance sort of kind of. That's when you know when you know. That's what I know. My teachers and then my mentors and things like that, and they break down to me and be like, you know when she's the one. You know when you find the one. And I truly believe that you will know. There's no question.
I gotta say, I agree, man. I agree with both the fellas. I think that it depends on, you know, what you're looking for. I mean, you know, everybody's looking for different things in relationships and love. So I think it just truly depends on what you're looking for. If you found what you're looking for, then like Anthony said, I mean, you know you found it when you ain't gotta ask that question. So I do agree that, you know, with both Leo and Anthony, that, you know, I guess it really just depends. And if you got to keep asking that, then I don't think you found it yet. But you know, when you don't have to ask those questions, man, and you just, you know, in your heart and soul, you know, physically and mentally, you're just content in that relationship with that person. And you don't have, you know, no major issues, and you're just content, and the only thing you're concerned about is you and that person, or that person being in your life, then I think you've answered your own question. You know, I think you've answered your own question. Leo, what you got for us, bro?
I have, how do men view relationships, or what do men want out of a relationship?
How do men view relationships? Well, let me take out my Crocodile Dundee knife and take a stab at that one. Look, I'm going to say this. I will say it like this. I think that how men view relationships, I know a lot of times that, you know, sometimes, you know, I know women like to believe that we don't take relationships seriously. You know, we don't look at it like they look at it, and you know, it's all about sex for us, and that's truly not the case all the time. You know, men, we truly do want to be in relationships. We truly do want to have a significant other. We truly do want to have a special woman in our life. So we look at it. I mean, of course, we're two different type of creatures. Of course, you know, men are physical beings, women are emotional beings. But, you know, the thing about it is, you know, we do, you know, not saying that, you know, because we're physical beings that we don't have emotions. Yes, we do. You know, we do, you know, want to have someone special to come home to. We do want to have someone special to talk to and talk to about our problems, and not just our good, not just our bad things, but our good things as well. You know, we want to feel good inside, and we want to feel comfortable knowing that, you know, if you need some affection, if you need some attention, if you need some loving, and you need, you know, just a shoulder to cry on, that you have somebody that you can do that with. So, you know, for men, ladies, you know, we do appreciate relationships just as much as you do. I mean, it just depends on, you know, like I said, with certain men, it just depends on what they're looking for. You know, if you found what you're looking for, then, you know, you're going to, you know, value that relationship. You know, you're going to take it seriously, and it's going to be important to you. So, so ladies, know that, you know, we view relationships, just as seriously as you do. I mean, you know, some men may play it off nonchalantly like they don't care, but, you know, in all actuality, they do care. You know, they do care. So, you know, that's my stab at it.
Yeah. I can feel that. Optimus, you about to say something?
Go ahead. Second. I'll get it right after you.
No, I'm piggyback off of D. You know, one, we take relationships seriously. You know,
we
and,
do.
You know, I'll take something that Dave Chappelle said, you know, when he was talking about comedy. He was like, you know, people look at comedians like they're weak, and they're not. So instead of saying what's wrong with that comedian, he said we should be asking what is wrong with show business, you know, and comedy maybe in specific, that is able to break down strong people like that. And I'll tell women, it's like, you know, it's not that we are afraid of relationships. It's just that sometimes we don't like how you approach them. So I'm going to piggyback after what Dee's saying. For us, relationships have to be functional. It can't just serve one part of our lives and it be happy. Like, we can't say, well, she's the best, you know, friend I got, or, you know, she's the best emotional thing I got, or she's the best sex thing I got. We don't compartmentalize like that. We want somebody who's going to fulfill at least a part of everything that we want, or else you are going to be, as they say, the jump off or the side piece or whatever the term is today, because you have to be functional in our lives. So you can't just come and say, well, you know, I'm going to be the best friend, but, you know, I ain't going to be that great in bed, or I'm going to be great in bed, but, you know, I don't talk to him that much, or I'm going to help him in business, but, you know, I'm not going to be emotionally, you know, available to him. You have to fulfill all those functions. When a man looks for a woman, he doesn't look for some super chick who can do everything perfectly, but we do look for a woman who can do all things adequately, you know, and hopefully you can do some things great. But if you lacking, then the relationship is going to be lacking, because we need that functionality. It has to make sense to us, and we are involved in it. Like Dee said, I always want to piggyback on that. We dedicate ourselves all the time. So to ask yourself, what about how women go about relationships is changing how men get involved with them.
You know, because you said, you know, women always want to assume, oh, you know, all men is looking for sex. No, don't get it twisted, ladies. You got to understand something, that, like I said before, you know, we're physical beings. Of course, we're going to be drawn to physical activity, but that's not saying that we don't have emotions. That's not saying that we don't look for those great things about relationships. We don't hold on to the quality of relationships like you do, because we do. But like Anthony said, you know, we just want to know that it's going to be a functioning relationship. If we feel like it's a chink in the armor, then we're going to take the armor off, and we're going to sit there and take a look and be looking at it like, okay, what's up with this armor? You know, now we're going to feel like, damn, am I safe walking around with this armor? Am I safe putting this armor on? So as long as we know that it's, you know, it don't have to be, you know, it don't have to be titanium or adamantium. It don't have to be made or nothing like that. But as long as we know that it's secure, and as long as that we know that we'll be safe, we'll put that armor on and walk around with it proudly. So, you know, as long as we know that, like Anthony said, you know, as long as we know that it's adequate and it's functioning properly, we all good with it.
And then the triple off of that, I always take the approach that at the end of the day, we are all human. And to ask the question, how do men view relationships, or what do men want out of relationship? I believe that we all want security, whatever that security may be. If it's the security that, oh, I know I got somebody at home, I don't have to search for anything, or the security of, oh, finances, or security for sex, security for just emotion, just security in general, just being whole within a relationship. And I do agree with the both of you. We do take relationships seriously. A relationship has standards for you to be considered in a relationship. You have to have some set boundaries that a man would stand loyal to, or not, just vice versa, that a woman would stand loyal to, or maybe she doesn't. It's the same on both ends. To ask that question, you got to ask yourself that question: what do I want in a relationship? And if it's a problem with that, with what you want, then maybe that's not a situation for you. it coincides with one another, basically.
That's real.
Yeah.
No doubt, no doubt. Ant, what you got for us, bro?
Man, because you know I get clinical, so you know I'm just going over you know notes. I keep everything. So psychologically, there's like six different forms of love, and then there's like a biblical love, and you know, and some of them talk about like decision, commitment, like deciding to be there, intimacy and passion. You know, there's some psychological perspectives that say, you know, love is this unmeasurable phenomenon, and then, you know, you have others that have all of these other contents, like emotional content, your beliefs and your values and your motivations, and then how deep those are, you can measure those and decide how much someone loves somebody. So it's like even people who study the mind cannot come up with a cohesive or homogeneous idea of what love is, you know, and what it boils down to is we all define love in our own way. Like, you know, if you go into the Christian, you got the agape, which is the unconditional. And some people say that there's only unconditional love, and anything less than that is not love, it's like. So that's why I said, you know, clinically, I'd have to ask, like, what is your definition of love? You know, is it based off of your intimacy with a person, your emotional content, your beliefs and your values about that person? Because that's the most important thing, because a lot of times that I've seen relationships, the man and the woman have two different concepts of what love is, how it's supposed to manifest, and what they're expecting from it. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it sounds crazy, but on some levels, you have to decide when you get with a woman, like when she says, I love you, because me and my wife did this, we both said, yo, what does that mean to you? Let's make sure we're on the same page. When you say you love me, what do you mean, and what are you expecting from me in return for what you just said? And we literally had to come to a common definition and understanding, because in some things it wasn't the same. You know, because like for her, her idea of love was a man fulfilling her role, fulfilling his role. So my question is, what is your idea and role of a man? And there were some things where it's like, well, nope, I don't do that. You know what I'm saying? And if that's your expectation, we're going to have issues. You see what I'm saying? And same thing with the woman.
So now you got to rethink it, and you have to come to some type of common ground, a common definition.
Yes. Because believe me, it's a lot of people, as I say, you know, using the relationship cookbook terms, you got two people cooking in the same pot making two different meals, and they wonder why it tastes bad. It tastes bad because y'all not making the same thing, you know, and that's important. You know, that, you know, as crazy as it sounds, you know, there is no universal definition and accepted, you know, format or understanding of love. And, you know, that's dealing with where people come from, some people are looking for love to compensate or to make up for things or to resemble the things that they've had in their past. And they come in with those expectations. And if you don't fully know their past and know their expectations, I mean, y'all in for a hard time. You know, a lot of disappointment and a lot of letdown. So, you know, it might sound like we're trying to get out of it, but it's the truth. You got to come to a common definition of love. And then once you have that, you can tell if you are in this perfect love situation that you want. And I don't get into the idea of perfection, because I believe perfection is what you make it. But if that's the term you want to use, you know, and it's being thrown out, that's how you know. You do the work. Love is
real talk. Real talk. Real talk. I'm gonna go ahead and end it with this last one. It says, the question is, if you love someone, could you let them go if you knew you were no good for them? Elio?
That's a real difficult question. You know, you love someone, and just like talking off the topic of love, love is an unconditional feeling, and it's whether you're strong enough to allow someone else to love the person you love. Could I? I would say yeah, because I wouldn't want to see the person I love go through the hurt that I could possibly put them through. That wouldn't be love if I allowed it to continue on, and if I continued to hurt this person, I probably would have to step away,
get myself together, recollect myself, maybe become a better person to love this individual. But at that current time, I would say, yeah, I'll be willing to step away from the situation out of love.
You know, I've done it before, so I can honestly say that I could do it without any second thought. But I think, you know, brothers, I think that's where men are at. Like Optimus said, you know, that's where we're at. You know, we are very practical with it, and we're like, you know, if I'm not going to be good for you, you know, walk away. Now, we might not walk away. We might tell a woman to walk away, and if she doesn't, we'll stay, but we'll be honest about it. You know, and I've known, come on, we've all had conversation with brothers. Well, you know, we at least want to say, man, I don't even know why she with me. You know what I'm saying? You know, I keep trying to give her the room to go, but, you know, she wants to stay. You know, I think that's more, and it's going to sound sexist, I think that's more of a woman question. Because brothers, you know, we'll accept defeat. When we're wrong, now, of course, you got the buttholes and all in every bunch that's going to break the rule. But, you know, as general... a rule, I think, you know, I think that's what we do. We'll be honest. Like, you know, even, like I said, if we don't walk away, we'll still be like, you know what, maybe you want to rethink this because maybe I ain't the dude for you because I'm not in a position where I'm going to do you right, you know, and let it go. But, yeah, I think, I know I would, and I think most men would, you know, and I think most men do.
Let me get my Crocodile Dundee. That's not a knife. Look here. Let me say... I agree. I think that I agree with Anthony to go off of that, of what he said. I think that most men would. Of course, you know, he said, you know, there's a lot of different jerk holes out there that that will break the rule. But, yeah, I think, but you have to. I look at it like this. If I feel like I'm no good for you, I wouldn't get it popping in the first place. You know, I wouldn't even let it start up or even progress if I felt like I was no good for you, because I wouldn't even want to punish you like that. But if I felt like I was no good, then yeah, I would definitely not want to drag you down with me. So I would definitely let her go if I felt like I was no good for her.
Yeah, I think that's the man thing to do.
Regardless of how you feel, I mean, yeah, I mean, if you're really into, you know, if that man is really into that woman, yes, it's going to hurt. You know, it's going to hurt. But, you know, he's thinking about it in the long run, you know, and if he truly honestly thinks that he's doing more harm than good, then, you know, he's going to let her go.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, definitely going to let her go.
Real men. That's definitely a real man decision.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've actually sat in on a conversation where a guy was like, yo, I got a real good girl. But, I mean, I just be doing her wrong. But I know she's faithful to me, and she'll never cheat on me. But and she know what I do. But, I mean, I'm just going to keep on doing me. That's basically where it was. And it was just like I was kind of disgusted just sitting there listening to the situation. Just like, why not get out of the situation? You clearly don't love her enough to not hurt her. You got a question, does he really love her? You know what I mean? I just think it's the coward move to do. It's a confusing situation at first, but continuing to do it and know you're doing it and to know you're hurting this person, why continue to do that?
Yeah.
And just know something, ladies, that if a man does stay, if he does stay with you, I ain't talking about the asshole, but what I'm saying is that if he does stay with you, then he feels in his heart and soul that he is good for you, and he feels in the long run that you two will be good for each other, and he will stay with you.
True that.
You know, and with that being said, real men talking, ladies, if you have any relationship questions and, you know, you'd like us to answer your relationship questions, definitely hit us up, Facebook, you know, or Twitter. You can go to the DL Radio Network Facebook page, or you can hit me up, D Slate, Anthony Rucker, or Optimistic Music, LEO. Hit us up on Facebook. Go to the DL Radio Network Twitter page. You can hit us up on there. Or you can email us, DLRShow@gmail.com, if you have any relationship questions you'd like us to discuss on Real Men Talking. I'm going to play some music. When we come back, we're going to close it out for you guys. Anthony, real quick, bro.
tell everybody about your book.
Oh, Relationship Cookbook. You can get it any major bookseller on the net. You can walk in or order it. If they don't have it, you can come to my website, relationshipcookbook.com, and order straight from me. And in the next 3 weeks, y'all are going to see pieces dropping from the new book, True Game, How to Get Anybody You Want. It's a psychological treatise on how to really develop and get inside people's heads and start, you know, developing relationships. You know, it's going to be hot. Cause a lot of trouble.
Mm. Can't wait, baby. Can't wait. But definitely, guys, definitely make sure you guys get that. It's definitely a page turner, so definitely make sure you guys pick that up from my man Anthony, Getting It In. The Alba Radio Network got some hits for you guys. When we come back, we're going to close it out for you guys for tonight. Had a wonderful, wonderful show like we always do on these lovely Tuesdays. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us tonight. When we come back, it's the closeout time. I got my man Marcus Houston, the new single, Give Your Love a Try. Let's go.
I've been running for so long, baby, that it gets easy every time.
Can attest to this, and Anthony, I know you're going to find that out the more and more you're on the network with us and the more cats we interview and talk to, you know, we run into a lot of really great cats, man, and a lot of great celebrities, you know, have been on the show with us, man, and had a ball with us, man, and had fun with us. And, you know, when we had Marcus on the show, man, he was hilarious, man, cracking jokes, and we was having fun, and, you know, he was full of life, man, and that's what I like to see. And he enjoyed himself, you know, when he was talking with us. So, and those are the kind of things that I like to see when we have cats on the show, you know, that they enjoy themselves when they're on with us and speaking with us and just, you know, just being themselves and being relaxed and just having fun, man. And that's what it's all about, you know, giving the public, you know, a different outlook on you and letting everybody see a different side of you. You know, that's the purpose of getting some of these cats on and getting an opportunity to talk to them about, you know, those things that are near and dear to their hearts and in their careers. So, you know, definitely big shout out to my man Marcus Houston on the new album, Famous, and definitely make sure you guys, you know, pick that up when it comes out and check out the new single and video, Give Your Love a Try. With that being said, Diablo Tuesday Spot, D-Slay, Leo, Anthony, we're getting it in for the Finians. Had another wonderful show tonight. Big shout-out and big thank you to the beautiful Miss Nakia Baris for joining us. My man Keith Robinson for hanging out with us tonight. And definitely make sure you guys check out Keith's new music and check out, download his app on iTunes, Utopia, and get a chance to check out his music, as well as go to Nakia's website, NakiaBaris.com, and make sure you check her out as well. And you can check them out on Facebook and Twitter. Leo, any closing comments for tonight?
Definitely. Stand Forward was pushed back. This is the movement me and the Divine Artistic United Society is trying to push. Due to the Meet of America tour, we weren't able to do it. So the 16th of September, we will be meeting at Broughton Cecil B. Moore and walk into the art museum to paint a mural. Basically, we're a group of young individuals trying to stand for something because, you know, the youth in the communities these days are looked down upon. So we want to stand for something because we don't want to fall for anything. So that's just LEO, Live Every Day Optimistic. I enjoy talking to you guys. So just hit me up on Facebook. Optimistic Music with a Q.
There it is, baby. Anthony, bro, any closing comments for tonight?
Wow, just be yourself. You know, with the guests we had, you know, you couldn't have told me growing up, you know, that there would be like two Black Power Rangers, you know, and in that position. You know what I'm saying? When you
That's
first
real.
Come up, because everything we saw, you know, Superman, Ultraman, everybody. You know, Wonder
Woman,
all of them.
They was
another
race.
Yeah, and things are hard, but hard is an excuse. Impossible is a reason. You know, so unless things are impossible, keep moving, because the only way we're going to go forward as a people and as humans is if we push the limits and push the limits of possibility. So do that. Go Power Rangers. How about that one?
Right. I like that, baby. Go. That's it. D-Hour Radio Network Tuesday Spot. I just want to say thank you guys for joining us tonight. Thank all the listeners and supporters of the D-Hour Radio Network. Make sure you tune in to the D-Hour Radio Network every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday. You never know who's going to be on. You never know who we're going to be talking to. Also, big shout-out to my man Eddie Griffin, comedian T-Thang, Tim Whitley, and Broadman for having a really great comedy jam this weekend in Chicago at the Airy Crown. Everybody said that they loved it, and definitely big shout out to them. And also, we got some other, you know, big things coming up for the D-Hour Radio Network and guests, and we'll definitely keep you guys, you know, in tune and up to date of what's going on with that. And again, I hope you guys have another lovely, lovely night. Be blessed. Be safe. We'll see you guys next time. Big shout out to my brothers Leo and Anthony for joining me and hanging out with me tonight. We'll see you guys next time on the spot. Make sure you keep it safe and keep it real. Go Power Rangers, baby. We'll see y'all next time.
It's Morphin time. In town, reaching your location, even places not around. Travel through your airways, stimulate your intellect, and you ain't even know. It's broadcasted from the internet, giving you what you want, showing love to the hood, even to the birds. So yeah, it's all good. No, they ain't like other stations, following the trend. 10 minutes later, the same song again. It's the G-Hour Show, yeah, I said it so you know. Coming first in any challenge, on your mark, set, go. If you're ready, let's roll. Let's hop aboard the Starship, the hottest station show. We love the underground artists. Yeah.